welcome into another edition of the Talking Caucho Podcast with Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier here on the Game Nashville Sports Network. Nashville SC getting the 3-0 win versus Montreal 2 weeks ago, creating more history in this Nashville SC 2.0, as they have called it, marking its best start in club history with 8 goals and a +5 goal differential, which is impressive for a Nashville SC team under BJ Callahan, and needing those key players to really step up. Obviously, against Montreal, Hany Mukhtar recorded his 49th and 50th career regular season assist, as he's now tied 7th for most goal contributions with 117 through 150 games. Nashville really took care of business against Montreal. You know, I mentioned in previous podcasts with Claudio, along with myself, Nashville has to basically take down those teams that were at the bottom of the table. They can't be playing down to their opponents like they've done in years past. This is a new team, obviously, under BJ. I think the chemistry is starting to develop more. Obviously, Hany Mukhtar has been assisting more, hasn't really been scoring as much. This is a new, I guess, viewpoint of how Nashville will use him. It could possibly bring some frustration, in my opinion, for what I've seen from the press box and talking to other media members. I think the frustration is starting to set in a little bit for Hany. I wouldn't say, you know, he's not a team player. I think he is a team player. It's just, to a certain degree, I mean, when you're the star player for so long and a new coach comes in and a new type of system is implemented and you no longer are the true focal point, when you actually have, and it's a good thing, you need guys to kind of piggyback off of in a roundabout way. And I'm not saying Hany Mukhtar is not, you know, the best player on planet Earth. I mean, he is a really good player for Nashville, but at the same time, you have to realize that he's not a spring chicken anymore. And I think BJ recognizes that, so does the rest of the team, and Hany realizes that as well. And it's able to open up more play, like I've mentioned in previous episodes, but especially now, because I would like to jump forward into this previous week's game versus Cincinnati that was ended up being a 2-1 loss for Nashville. It really could have put them in a good position in the table, especially going up against Charlotte this upcoming weekend. But overall, I felt like the game was pretty back and forth for the most part when it came to going up against Cincinnati. There was a lot of, I'd say, at the beginning of the game, Nashville was, I would say, struggling for the most part, trying to, you know, get the ball under their feet, and, you know, they were primarily defending, and then, you know, they end up, I'd say, around the 22nd minute or so, give or take, the momentum shifted where Nashville was in full command, and then, you know, back and forth, it was pretty much a stalemate, but there was a chance by the guy we were just talking about the Montreal game and how he's been playing so far this season, Hany Mukhtar. Hany missed a penalty kick versus Cincinnati that could have probably given Nashville the 2-1-1 if the momentum shifted right, and or could have just given them the 2-2 draw at the worst. But now Nashville comes home with no points after that home loss. It was their first home loss of the season, and now they have to go on the road to Charlotte and take on a really good Charlotte team that is one spot above them in the rankings. And so this should be a interesting matchup. But BJ Callahan had something to say about Hany Mukhtar and, you know, maybe switching it up on who might be taking the penalty kicks going forward.
I mean, it's just we have to be better at it. I don't have a, you know, there's not an exact science to it. It's something that we're going to have to obviously look at, evaluate internally, and try to, you know, from top to bottom, you know, from how we approach the penalties and sort of, you know, everything. But yeah, we have to be better. You can't be 1-for-4.
And there it was, BJ Callahan. It's unacceptable. Being 1-of-4 from the penalty spot, it's just not it. It makes you wonder, could Sam Surge be the next guy in line to be taking penalty kicks? Obviously, there have been other media members. Ben Wright's been one of them. Valaire with 615 Soccer. They've mentioned it before that maybe Sam Surge might be the next guy in line. To me, it's if you give Sam Surge the full right to take penalties, it almost makes me wonder then, like, what's this going to sound dumb when saying it, but what's the point of having Hany Mukhtar in the mix? To me, if you give the liberties to Sam Surridge to take penalty kicks, Hany Mukhtar is there for assist. He's there to open up space. He's there to complement everybody else around him, which is kind of the role that I was mentioning to start the podcast with. That's the role that he's in now with his career, is you're no longer the quote, it guy. You have other it guys on this team. Eddie Tagseth, who I've mentioned before, has just been a termite on the field. I think they call him the Norwegian nuisance is what they call him, well, within the club is his nickname. But you have that. And then whenever Patrick Yazbek's healthy, Ahmed Kasem, that was one of the questions I asked BJ Callahan in the press conference after the game, just his comfortability on the ball. He's able to just be nonchalant yet serious at the same time. There was one play, I think it was in the second half, probably early in the second half. There was a, I think a ball went out towards the sideline, and Kasem was like the only person within the area. He was probably about 30 yards off it, and he was just jogging to the ball like it's going to go out of play and, you know, put it for a throw in. And then he hits another gear like 10 yards within it and kept the ball in play. And because of that, he was able to toss it off to Eddie Tagseth and then shift it around to Patrick Yazbek, then back to Hani. And it created a chance on net, which I believe led to a corner, if my memory serves me right. So having those extra little, I guess, pieces, younger pieces, fresh legs, that's what they're there for. Hani's there to compliment each and every one of them. So with BJ Callahan saying that the team's going to handle this internally, meaning, in my translation, every, I guess, the practices I'm able to go to, or when I did go to preseason, the guys were in practice with penalty kicks. And there was two practices that I remember specifically. It was Hani, Sam, and there was somebody else. It was a third person. I can't remember who it was. But I think the third person was just there. It might have been a backup goalkeeper. I don't know. One of the two. But thinking that way into the regards of how they're going to approach this, there's probably going to be some meetings. Obviously, in film, there's going to be some meetings. I mean, BJ said there's not really a exact science to it all. But for the most part, you kind of know who your penalty takers are going to be. And if Hani's not able to kind of successfully fill this role, I feel like it's a next man up mentality. And, you know, that's been the idea with this Nashville SC 2.0, is that it's the next man up mentality, whether if there's a guy out for a sickness, kind of like Ahmed Kasem and Patrick Yazbek were last week against Montreal. That's kind of where, you know, you got to look at it. You got to look at it that way. You got to look at it as the next man up mentality. So if Hani's not in a good form right now, and maybe it's because of, I don't know, maybe it's his diet currently, I don't know. It could be something along those lines. But if he's not able to fulfill his performance to the highest level right now, you got to supplement it with somebody else. And right now, I don't think this is the time to do so with moving Ahmed Kasem to that attacking midfielder role. But I do see him in the future playing that role as that little, I guess, attacking midfielder number 10. Because I go back to a question that I asked him after his home debut in Nashville, and he scored on a debut goal there. I asked him the question of who was his favorite player growing up. And his favorite player was Ricardo Kaká. Kaká, back in the day when he played for AC Milan, the team that ruled Europe, Kaká was everything. He was technically sound with the ball at his feet. He was scoring goals left and right. Kaká was at that attacking midfielder role. So to me, stylistically, currently, I don't think it's the right fit yet. I don't think Nashville fans and just spectators in general haven't seen that little technicality of the ball at his feet in close quarters yet. He's kind of evolving into being a really good winger right now, especially with Nashville in this style of soccer that BJ has them playing. He's really good at the press, which is pretty solid. I think he's coming on when it comes to the press. Let's put it that way. Not great at it, but he's coming on with it. He's getting there. But I think eventually, if Hani ends up kind of slumping, you got to have a plan B. Like, who is the plan B for Hani Mukhtar in that role? And in my opinion, I think it's Ahmed Kasem, because if you put Ahmed Kasem in that attacking midfielder role, then you have to supplement that right side. And that right side would probably be Jonathan Perez, and then on the left side, or Alex Muil, one of the two. But I think you got to put Muil on one side, Perez on the other. If it's a team like a Montreal, like one of those lower table teams, you can get away with a lineup like that. But if it's a team that's like an Inter Miami and you're forced, you know, with no other options, I think you have to go, this is what I would do. It kind of depletes your bench a little bit, but this is me. You would put Kasem at that attacking role. Then yeah, have Sam Surge up top, Jacob Schaffelberg on the left side when healthy, and then maybe Alex Muil on the right, and then you have Jonathan Perez come on in the second half or whenever that substitution is needed. And or you vice versa. You put Perez out there with Muil. But like I said, if you're going up against a team like Miami, you want to have some of your best guys out there. I mean, I'm not saying that Moyle or Perez are not starting guys, which I think they are. It's just you're going to be put in between a rock and a hard place for sure. So that's what I would kind of go with. Unfortunate that Nashville can't seem to get these penalty kick woes out of the way. They'll get there, though. I think they'll eventually get there when the time comes. But yeah, that's that. Nashville goes up this weekend to Charlotte to take on Charlotte FC. Obviously, Charlotte FC is currently sitting at fifth in the standings of the Eastern Conference, with Nashville SC right behind them in sixth. So you got your hands full with this one. This will be definitely popcorn-worthy soccer to watch on the weekend. This is a Saturday game at 1:30. You could probably watch that on like the MLS Season Pass or something on Apple TV, one or the other. But Charlotte, you know, made big news this past offseason, grabbing a guy over the pond in Wilfred Zaha. Zaha has made a few cameo starts for the club. He's been pretty decent for the most part in five appearances with one goal. So there's that. He's a very flamboyant player. Obviously, he's on the back end of his career. But, yeah, that's that. But he's not really the big, you know, top-notch player for them. It's really Pep Biel, if I'm pronouncing that right, the Spanish guy. Hey, he's a short guy like me, 5'6", 137. I'm not that skinny. But, yeah, this guy does a pretty good job of getting the ball to his feet and getting it on net. He has two shots on target in his last game. And I mean, every time the ball is at his feet, he's more than likely looking for an opportunity on goal. So he had a really good game against San Jose with two assists and one goal, so three-point night for him there, and had three shots, which is kind of crazy. So this is a attacking style team that does not lay down for anybody, especially. Obviously, Nashville's going to put that on them for the most part when it comes to attacking press if the ball is lost in possession. So this is, I think, a big test for Nashville. Everybody wants to, you know, look back at that Cincinnati game and say, oh, yeah, that's the game Nashville should have won because it's a rivalry game and, you know, Nashville fans want to see a win there. But, I mean, it's not a right to lose, obviously. But with the way they performed, I think it was a serviceable game for them. I think it's a good building block for what they have to come in the season. They've already accomplished a lot so far under BJ Callahan, and there's some interesting questions that were answered by former Nashville SC midfielder Dax McCarty, who will come on the podcast later on in the episode, so make sure you stay tuned for that. Some players to watch out for with Nashville SC, and could Nashville SC possibly see some hardware in year one under BJ Callahan? So there was a lot of fun there with Dax in that little interview. That'll be coming up here in a little bit on the episode. But back to Nashville here, talking about their upcoming matchup this Saturday against Charlotte FC. Something I really want to see from Nashville in this game against Charlotte FC, I'm going to say, if I had to project something, I'd say Andy Nahar gets the start. I want to see what Andy Nahar brings to this team. You know, I guess now that Josh Bauer has two games under his belt at right back, and two goals, that is. You know what? Let me back up a little bit. Josh Bauer has been one of the most, I guess, crucial pieces to Nashville SC's defense and also offense in a roundabout way, because he has two goals. This guy, he's got a funny personality off the field, and we've kind of gotten a little bit of taste of that in the post-match press conferences. But Josh Bauer has been a very impactful piece for Nashville, especially, and he's evolved into not just being a center back, not just being a plug away center back. He's now evolved into being a right back that is serviceable, and he can be Andy Nahar's secondary, which is nice. Andy Nahar, I think once he got subbed into the game against FC Cincinnati, he brought on a different presence. Obviously, there's a different style of soccer between him and Josh Bauer. Andy Nahar is more of that attacking style, gets into the offense. But for the most part, I want to see how much Andy Nahar is involved in the offensive, I guess, possession when it comes to going up against Charlotte. Because if he is involved, like game one and game two for Nashville, I think Nashville comes out victorious against Charlotte. It's just the biggest thing Nashville's trying to figure out right now is when they don't have their key pieces in and they have some, I guess I'd call role players in, like Josh Bauer, they're trying to figure out the chemistry with that and how they're able to, I guess, adapt to getting production out of those guys and kind of translating it with starters like Eddie Tagseth and Patrick Gazbeck. Because with those guys being in the middle and being able to command the field, it makes Josh Bauer's job easier, along with now having Andy Nahar back in the fold. This is my projection. I think he'll start for Charlotte. This is a vital game for Nashville because if they end up winning this game, they'll probably be top three, top four, because currently they're sitting sixth. They get 3 points. More than likely, they'll be around the top four spot with Chicago and Columbus. So don't forget, they beat Philadelphia earlier in the season, and they're already at number two on the list there. So and obviously, Miami's at the top of the Eastern Conference. So there's all that to put into play. But overall, I would like to see what Andy Nahar's impact is. If he is starting on the weekend, that'll be a big thing to watch out for sure. And when it comes to Nashville and offensive possession, I think let's go over to corner kicks. That's something I would like to see, especially maybe an improvement on, because Nashville had some chances against FC Cincinnati on some corner kicks that were just trickling in inside the box that probably could have been put away. I know Sam Surge had an opportunity. I think Hani Mukhtar had an opportunity. No, it wasn't Hani. Let me think. It might have been Kasim back post maybe. But when everybody's crashing the net, moral of the story, somebody's got to have a head on it, a foot on it, some form of a body part on the ball to put it into the back of the net besides your arms and hands. It's just, I wouldn't say it's unacceptable, but the fact of the matter that Nashville had so many opportunities, especially against Cincinnati, that could have easily been in the back of the net. It's just something that this team pride themselves on the last couple of seasons, especially if it's Teal Bunbury starting, by the way, who, you know, made his 400th MLS appearance this past weekend. So congrats to that. Teal seems to be a very stand-up guy, a consummate pro for sure. And, you know, he mentioned in the press conference after the game his professionalism and just playing under BJ Callahan and so forth. So kudos to him on that. But back to the, you know, height thing with Nashville. Whenever, you know, the last couple seasons, Nashville prided themselves on, oh yeah, we have Teal Bunbury. He does really good job of grabbing aerial balls and especially, you know, now having Sam Surge be able to grab aerial balls and stuff like that. I get Sam's a nine. You want to use him, you know, to score goals. But at the same time, you have to be sure to get possession with the height. That is one key thing you got to do. And you know, again, let me rephrase some things because that just sounds dumb the way I just said it. But Nashville, they don't play that way anymore, but yet they still have it in their arsenal, if that makes sense. They still have it in their back pocket to use that tool. And I think Nashville has shied away from that when it comes to not using all of the tools in the tool bag. And yeah, that's where I think Nashville needs to improve going forward, because if they're able to successfully, I'm not saying get, you know, one goal per game from corner kicks, but at least be on the plus margin when you take them. At least one every 20 corner kicks, and that's probably varying through 2 to 3 games. If you can at least get one corner kick goal, I think that's you know, a sign in the right direction, especially if you get one corner kick goal in, I don't know, 5 to 6 games, that's a beneficial thing. But with Nashville, I think with the style they play and just the press that they, you know, oppose to other teams, it's wearing on the other teams. Like, I think it was New England, or it might have been Cincinnati, actually. There were a lot of hands on hips with defenders in the box. So which leads me to think that should be an upper edge for Nashville. They should be able to put a ball in the back of the net. And so, yeah, I think that's where you go with that. But my predictions for this game coming up, I'd say Nashville, I'm going to go 2-0 Nashville. I think Joe Willis gets another shutout. I think this team responds well. You know what? I feel like Hani Mukhtar is going to get the opportunity to redeem himself a little bit. I think Hani gets in for a goal. And, who's the second goal going to come from? You know what? It's very plain Jane, but I'm going to go Sam Surge. Hani Mukhtar and Sam Surge, I think those are your two goal scorers. Nashville wins 2-0, and Joe Willis gets another clean sheet, and Nashville gets back on the high horse. So there's that. And to wrap things up, here is Dax McCarty coming on the Talking Calcio podcast. Talk a little bit about Nashville SC and the MLS in North America. Welcome into the Talking Calcio here with Nick Frazier and alongside Dax McCarty, former Nashville SC midfielder. Dax, how are you?
I'm doing great, Nick. How are you?
I'm doing well. You know, this is a weird transition because you've been on the field for so long and now you've made the transition to TV. What's that adjustment been like for you?
Yeah, I have made the adjustment. Never easy whenever a player has to retire and walk away from the game. But I got to live my dream for 19 years. I made the decision in the middle of last season that I was going to hang up my boots And so I don't think it hit me. I don't think retirement hit me as hard as it does some other athletes. I was very cognizant of what I wanted to do when I retired. I knew I wanted to go into the media world and into the realm of media. And it's been a pretty seamless transition, I have to say. I'm really, really enjoying it.
Now, what's it been like, you know, working with Apple TV and seeing the, I guess, growth of soccer in North America, just a fun environment to work in?
Well, first things first, being able to say that I work with a company in MLS and Apple with the partnership that they have, Apple being one of the most innovative brands, most recognizable brands in the world, is something that I'm still pinching myself to be able to say that I do. It's truly an honor, and I'm very grateful for the opportunity. I feel like I'm just entering into another locker room, albeit not one where we play sports, but we just talk about sports. And I get to do it with some people who I'm really close with, some people who I have a ton of respect for, and some people who I think do a very good job analyzing MLS and the sport in this country. So I don't think I could have dreamed up a better transition out of the game for myself. It's just been a really good ride so far.
Transitioning back into talking about soccer here at Calcho to some that listen to the podcast, I'm curious to get your thoughts on the hometown team here in Nashville, Nashville SC, a team you're very familiar with. But, you know, under a new coach in BJ Callahan, there's a lot of just different ideologies and systems. And from my perspective, watching BJ's system kind of evolve, it's just a very high press type style soccer. Everything's played through the midfield. It's just a lot different from the older ways of Nashville SC when you were here.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head, Nick. It's a new and improved Nashville SC. BJ Callahan is already proving to be a fantastic second coach for this club. He has very progressive ideas. He learned under the tutelage of Jim Curtin and Greg Berhalter. And what I like about BJ is that I think that he's taken little bits from both of those managers and added it into what he wants to see from this Nashville SC team. They play in a more high-pressing system, like you mentioned, which makes it more exciting for the fans. They want to use the ball more in possession, which is more aesthetically pleasing for the fans to watch. But all that is a moot point if you don't have the results to back it up. And Nashville SC is winning games now. That's the one thing where you look at what happened last year, where they didn't make the playoffs for the first time in their existence. There needed to be change. And I think BJ Callahan has been the perfect manager to come in and try to get the best out of these players. They've completely revamped their midfield. Their midfield looks dangerous and hungry. They can hurt you in a lot of different ways. Nashville SC has been one of the surprises of the season for me so far this year.
I'm curious to ask you about one specific player in the midfield, Eddie Tagseth. I mean, he's been phenomenal at the start of the season for Nashville. I have a concern, though. Like, obviously, as the season progresses, your legs get heavy. How do you think Nashville, I guess, goes in the direction of trying to manage his time on the field?
Yeah, Eddie Tagseth has been a very exciting signing for Nashville SC. He's very fun to watch. He's versatile. He can play in any position in the midfield, which I think will be a big benefit for BJ Callahan as the season progresses. But Eddie Tagseth, watching him play, he doesn't strike me as the type of player that ever wants rest. He seems like he drinks an infinite amount of coffee to be able to run as much as he does on the field. He's almost like a left-footed version of Alex Mouil. Probably two of the fittest guys in the league in the same midfield is always going to be a problem for the opposition. But BJ Callahan's a good coach. The one thing that I look at with this Nashville SC team is that they have more depth now than they've ever had in their existence. And so if there are moments where BJ Callahan can find a little bit of time to give Eddie Tagseth some rest, I'm certain he will do that.
Now, I want to ask you, too, about Inter Miami, Lionel Messi. Obviously, Apple TV covers Inter Miami pretty good. I mean, now you look at this Nashville SC side, it's a different side from when they went up against each other in the League's Cup. How do you think Nashville would fare against a team like Inter Miami and those top teams at the top of the standings?
Well, that's the barometer. That's the measuring stick for what Nashville SC has to aspire to get to. I still think Inter Miami is the best team in the league at this moment in time. They've got the greatest player of all time in Lionel Messi, who's still playing at a very high level when he is fit and when he is healthy. But this Inter Miami team, they're the standard in MLS right now. And it's not just because of Messi and all the superstars that they have surrounded him with. They've also been really prudent in bringing in young players, how they've drafted with Yannick Bright, the young players that they've signed with Telasco Segovia, with Ian Frey stepping up after his injury and being a big piece to this team and this back line. Nashville SC is on that trajectory and on that path, albeit in a different way of building a team. But yeah, when Nashville SC wants to consider themselves one of the best teams in the league and fight for trophies like we all think they want to, they're going to have to test themselves and they're going to have to win games against the elite teams in MLS like an Inter Miami.
You mentioned, you know, setting a new standard, and that is the standard of MLS as Inter Miami. What about the standard of Ahmed Kasem, what he's brought to Nashville along with his side here?
I'm really excited to watch Ahmed Kasem every time he steps on the field. There's something about a creative left-footed player who just moves through the game so effortlessly that I love to watch. He's been a great addition to this midfield for Nashville SC. So many times in the past, Hani Mukhtar has been tasked with not just scoring goals, but also creating chances for this Nashville team. That's why he was a Major League Soccer MVP candidate throughout the years. But Ahmed Kasem has been a really good addition to this Nashville SC midfield. He provides creativity. He provides goal scoring. And so I'm really looking forward to seeing how he takes off more this season.
Wonderful. Well, Dax, before I let you go, I got three quick rapid-fire questions. And just initial reaction, what do you think in your head here? Will Nashville finish top seven?
Yes.
Okay. Next one. Will Nashville have three or more All-Stars represented at the All-Star game?
No.
And then the last but not least, will Nashville fans see the first trophy lifted under BJ Callahan in year one across all competitions?
Yes, I think Nashville will win the Open Cup if the Des Moines Menace run out of gas.
I was about to say, there might be somebody in the midfield there. Awesome, Dax. Well, I greatly appreciate you hopping on Talking Calcio here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game and The Game Nashville Sports Network. Just let fans know where they can reach you at.
Yeah, you can find all of our coverage with MLS Season Pass at MLSsoccer.com/seasonpass. And you can reach me on all the apps, Instagram, X, and Blue Sky.
Appreciate Dax taking the time out of his day to join the Talking Calcio podcast here on the Game Nashville Sports Network. That'll do it for this episode of the Talking Calcio podcast. And see you on the next episode. Ci vediamo presto.